We've got Bo Dietl on the line. Bo Man, welcome, my friend.
Hey, Bob, I'm sorry, a little communication gapitation here from the Bahamas.
Well, tell us, where are you, Bo?
Well, I'm on my friend's 250-foot boat with a helicopter pad on it. And, we're outside the Atlantis, and then he's got another boat next to us, 125-foot, just in case you want a little smaller action. Then we got a little smaller one, a 50-foot. And then we got to get on the G650 to get back home. This is a very difficult life. But you know what it shows? It shows hard work equals success. That's what America is about, capitalism. And then when I watched 60 Minutes last night, how they ripped apart the great Governor DeSantis because of the COVID, never saying a word about our Democrat liberal Governor Cuomo. Never say a word about that nitwit Newsom in California. They just attacked the Republican governor because he's doing such a great job. And this is 60 Minutes, Libertation of America. I used to like it. You know what? I won't watch it anymore.
Wasn't that a great show? It was a great show at one time. It is nothing but a left-wing hit job. And what they did to DeSantis last night, they got caught misediting his response to the COVID distribution that he privatized. CBS has caught red in.
It's one of the greatest states being run by a great governor. And my feelings are, you know, I'm very close to the president, the real president, Donald Trump. And, what Donald should do, because they hate him so much, President Trump should not run for re-election because they will cheat, lie, and do anything. They'll start this advanced balloting. They'll have mailboxes with stuffed ballots. They'll do everything they can to cheat because they hate Trump so much. Here's what the president should do, President Trump. He should throw his support in back of Governor DeSantis now and start, let's rally around him. The hatred will not come out as prevalent as the hatred for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and I've been saying for a few weeks, I love Trump. I loved his policies. I thought he was funny. A lot of people obviously didn't take him the right way, but he did a tremendous job for this country, but he's not the right candidate for 24, at least as I see it now.
You know, Bob, I was with him about a year and a half last time I was with him, and we were out in the Hamptons at Steve Ross's house, and there was about 30 of these billionaires, not me. I was an invited guest. And I said to the president, I said, you know, Mr. President, I know him 40 years. I said, you know what you should do? You should apologize to McCain's family, McCain, and you also should clarify a couple of the things about Mexican-Americans. Some of the families in America are hardworking, and I'm sorry for that. Show compassion. You know what the president said to me, Bo, who am I? I said, you're President Trump. He goes, that's why I'm President Trump. I do it my way, and I get it done my way. And that's why he's not reelected, because he did it his way.
Yeah.
He didn't listen to anybody, and the hatred came. You couldn't even have a conversation with people and have a fruitful conversation. They hated him so much.
Yeah.
It was like you're ready to go into a fist fight. And let's face it, all the great things he did now have been washed away, and look what we're facing now. They don't even want $3 trillion, $5 trillion. Let's just make it even $10 trillion. Let's just throw all the money out. Nobody has to work. Just get money from the government. That's what's going. That's the direction we're going in, Bob.
It truly is. Now, Bo, let's talk a little bit about your acting career. You were a incredibly decorated cop in New York City and detective undercover. You just solved some cases that they never thought they could solve. The brutal beating and murder of a nun. His career was just stellar. And he goes on to create his own private security company. And he's a man about town. Like, everybody wants to be a part of Bo Dietl in New York City. And he does Law and Order. He does Goodfellas. He does Wolf of Wall Street. Martin Scorsese absolutely loves you. And now we get your latest was The Irishman, which has a big Scranton area connection with Russell Bufalino, played by Joe Pesci.
Yeah, I tell you, that was probably the most exciting movie I ever did. I had good friends with Francisco Scorsese, who a lot of people don't know. I brought him up to Rayo's with Nick Pileggi, the writer of the book Wise Guy, which became Goodfella. And then we actually cast the 12 guys off the bar, Pete Mack, Johnny Rossi, Frankie, the owner of Rayo's, and we casted guys. One day we were there with the casting director. I've had the original Thursday night table since 1977, the first table Frankie, who was on a Rails, ever gave it out. And I've had everyone on that table. I had Radarhead, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett. Never picked up a damn check. Warren Buffett. I mean, I've had every Jack Welch, God rest his soul, every corporate leader, every actor, Denzel Washington. We did the Bone Collector I produced with Martin Bregman. We had Denzel Washington, Angelina Jolie, Bruce Willis. I mean, I've had them all up there, and it's probably one of the best networking things that I ever did in my life by having that table. I used to think all these billionaires liked me. It wasn't me. It was my freaking table at Rails.
Bo, I had the pleasure of being there myself, and it is an event. Believe me, it's an event.
The funny part, Bob, is that when Nick Pileggi was writing Goodfellas, the movie, the screenplay, it was all about my neighborhood, with Paul Verrio, played by, what's his name?
Paul Sorvino, our friend Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino. And then Henry Hill was the rat, played by my other friend there, Ray Liotta. And then the funniest part about my life is that I arrested Jimmy Burke, who was the real guy, Conway, played by De Niro. I arrested him on two murders that Henry Hill gave him up on. So I was a homicide detective at the time. So in reality, I got assigned to him. In other words, when you get a dead body, they assign it to a detective. So I had two cases open, and then Henry Hill became the big rat. He started ratting out the murders that Jimmy Burke killed, and I had to pick him up in Allenwood, and we flew back, and I knew Jimmy Burke. He owned a bar on Leffens Boulevard. We used to have 10-cent beers there, and I knew him as a kid. So when I picked him up, he goes, "Bo, what are you doing here?" I said, "Look, this is not a personal thing. Your friend Henry Hill gave you up. All I'm doing is going through the motions. The DA wants to bring you back." He goes, "I'm doing three life sentences anyway, Bo." So I get him on a plane, no handcuffs. We start drinking those little bottles of scotch. When we get to LaGuardia, we're all drunk. My lieutenant's there. He goes, "You're drunk, your partner's drunk, and your president's drunk." I go, "This is Jimmy Burke. He ain't going nowhere." And he got kind of pissed at me. But then with Paul Savini, Vino, Paul Verrio, it all kind of mirrored my life, back and forth mirrored my life. And everyone knows I grew up with the real John Gotti, who I happen to have a lot of admiration for. I'm sorry people don't like me to say that. Cut Bananas, and then Ralph Scopo, who used to run the construction union. So I touched upon this as a young man, 17 years old. I started out as a slave laborer. It was called Union 6A. It was a concrete laborers union. I call that the slave union, because that's what they treated you like, a slave. And then I became an iron worker on permit on the World Trade Center. And people used to say to me, "You know, Bo, is it construction and being a cop's dangerous?" And being a construction worker back then was a lot more dangerous. And they said, "Well, they had OSHA." I said, "The only ocean they had was the Atlantic friggin' ocean. There was no OSHA." I mean, it was it. I mean, I've seen guys go off buildings, and I've seen stuff fall on. So it was kind of tough. And then I took the cop test as a goof, and I didn't want to be no friggin' cop. And the rest is history. First day I see somebody climb up the fire escape across about three blocks down. I run off the roof, and I just chase this guy five blocks. And he had two rings he stole from the apartment. It was like an epiphany. And then I loved it. And I became one of the original decoys, where I was mugged 500 times. I was hospitalized 30 times. I've been stabbed, shot at, you name it, broken.
Well, I remember when I had the office with you, Bo, in New York City. You know, you'd grab Bo Dietl's arm, and it was like a wire cable, and he doesn't work out.
But a lot of people don't understand. When I was in high school, we had the Marine Corps physical fitness team. We had five guys, and we used to compete in locals, regionals, nationals, and we were like champions, national champions for 67, 68, and I was the individual guy. We had my coach, Tom Connolly. On Thanksgiving, we'd be at Cunningham Park doing push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, squat thrusts, and run 4 hours a day. That's all I did. So when I got into the police academy, I was doing 40 pull-ups, 180 push them, and the guys used to bet on me how much stuff I could do. So I had this enormous strength. I think as you're growing up, when you're 13 years old, as you're growing up, I think your cells become either fatty cells or muscle cells. I didn't give them a chance to get any too much fat on them, and it was this extreme strength I had, and I depended on that my whole police career. Hence, I never killed anyone.
Wow.
So that's what I attribute that to.
Well,
and it's something that people have to realize. Cops have to be in great shape. You shouldn't have to shoot somebody if you don't have to, but there are situations. One guy fired at me 5 times. I couldn't even get the damn gun out of the holster, and he throws it down. He says, "You got me." I said, "Got you." I used to carry, and I'll say it, the statute of limitations over. I used to carry brass knuckles. I hit him a shot. He was in the hospital very quickly. Now they would call it police brutality. Then I called it straightening the guy out.
Yeah. We're talking with Bo Deedle on the Bob Cadaro Show. Bo Deedle, the famed New York City policeman and detective, the president of Bo Deedle and Associates, one of our world's leading security firms, and amongst all of that, an actor who's been in some of the most brilliant Martin Scorsese movies that have ever been produced, and most recently in The Irishman, which, Bo, I watched it the first time, The Irishman, and I don't want to say underwhelmed, but I was a little bit put off. I didn't think De Niro should have kept that part, even though he created the movie, that was his right. But I thought that other than that, it was a good, solid movie. The second time I watched it, there was no big music and coolness and hipness. This is the way mob life was. Slow and dull and all that. I thought they captured it, and I thought your part was fantastic.
Well, again, Mr. Scorsese gave me a great part. I think I had 5 scenes in there, with the steam room, buying the watermelon, putting the booze in the watermelon, and being the boss of Jimmy Hoffa. I introduced Frank Sheehan, The Irishman, to him. And, The Irishman is like The Godfather. There's some facts in there and some non-facts in there. And being a detective in New York, a homicide detective, a lot of the stuff, a little bit not true, but it's an entertaining movie. And I think when people watch, even The Godfather, it's based, loosely on fact, like Profaci, Buell, King, and all that stuff. And, it's just, it's all about entertaining. It's entertaining people, letting people see something, bringing them into a world they don't really understand and all. It was great. And the best movie, I think, well, not the best, I like The Irishman the best, but The Wolf of Wall Street. Now, all of a sudden, they give me a call, and Marty says to me, "Bo, we got these 2 books, The Wolf of Wall Street, 1 and 2, about this guy, Jordan Belfort." I start laughing, and I'm in the books, the books.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Who are we going to get to play Bo Deedle?" And I said, "Come on, Marty, stop that bull crap." I says, "I'm playing myself." Sure enough, I play myself.
Yourself, yeah.
This Jordan Belfort was a real creep. He probably killed more Jews than Hitler on the North Shore. He had everybody invest their life savings into these pump and dumps, and then he became a rat. He wore a wire. He set up all his friends. He's a piece of garbage. So when we did the movie, the Wall Street Journal interviewed me, and I said, "This guy thinks he's Robin Hood. He's a cheap punk, never gave money to charity. He stole $200 million. He gave $12 million back. They never stayed on top of him to pay the money back." And I said, as far as I'm concerned, he's got the greatest actor playing him, Leonardo DiCaprio, greatest director. This guy should still be in jail. And he should pay back every dollar. And now he's a sensation. And I'm going to tell you, sensation, one day he's going to come across the wrong guy. my other friend, Steve Madden, Madden Shoes, he was the only, he was probably one of the only legit IPOs, and we know who he is now. He's a billionaire with his shoes. He went to jail because of Jordan Belfort. Jordan Belfort put all his friends in jail. He wore a wire. He's a rat, piece of garbage. And if he was near me right now, now I'd bring him back to New York because there's no bail. I'd punch him in the face because there'd be no bail. I'd crack him up to jail right now, and I'll get out of jail right away. That's all.
Bo, give us your take on New York City. We've got about a minute left. The status of New York City. Does it come back?
I'm glad you're asking that. New York City will never come back. Everyone said to me, Bo, you worked in the 70s and 80s as a cop and detective. I said there was only one difference. We could go out there and lock them up. So we could put them in jail. Today, every criminal, the last 1,000 gun arrests are on the street. Every criminal's out there. Bail reform is so ludicrous and ridiculous. They're not going to reverse it. And it, New York will never come back. You go to New York now, you have gangs roving around New York, robbing, assaulting people, and half of it's not going reported. Until they change that, if they ever change it, which I don't think is going to happen, because they have a supermajority in the assembly, New York will not come back. And I wouldn't buy a damn thing in New York City, a business nor a restaurant. I'm stuck there because I have a business. And I tell you the truth, if I could, I would sell it and move out of New York. I can't sell a sinking ship. New York City will never ever be back if they don't change the bail reform. You got criminals running around. They know one thing, that they're not going to be held on bail. So when they get right out the same couple hours later, they go right back out and they commit a crime. Now, here's the worst part. The police department, the great New York City Police Department, they've changed the laws. You got to arrest somebody who's fighting with you. You can't get them in headlock. You can't get on top of them. What are you supposed to levitate 6 feet over and drop the handcuffs? It's so ridiculous. But now it gets worse. They tell the cops, if we feel as though you used unnecessary force, now who's judging them now? Our civilians. Telling them they use unnecessary force, you lose your job, you lose your pension, and then you could be arrested. But now it gets better. Last week, these morons in the city council passed a bill that you now can sue the cops civilly and take his house away.
Oh, God.
You tell me what's going to go on in New York City. Nothing. The poor cops are just going to do nothing. They'll take a report. They'll let the perp run away. I'm sorry. This is the fact. No one has the cojones to talk the way I'm talking. I say it on every show. Until they change this and support the cops, defund the police. I go into black neighbors. They say, please bring more police. Our people are being killed. Yes, black lives matter, especially the black lives every year. 500 dead every year in Chicago. Why didn't those lives matter? The only lives that matter are this questionable interaction with police. And there's hundreds of millions of interactions with police and African Americans every year. And there's only a handful of things that are questionable. So stop the bull crap with your black lives matter crap. That's what it is. Black lives matter crap. The real black lives are the people who are dying in our community, on our black communities. They have to be protected by the police. Why isn't there demonstrations in Chicago? All these cities where people are getting, you know who's getting gunned down? The black lives are getting done. They're gunned down. Hit real fast. 15,000 murders a year, approximately. Of those 15,000, approximately 8,000 are black. Of those people killed, the blacks, 92% by other blacks. Now you've got a population that's 12% of the American population are black, and 60% of the murders. So let's stop the bullcrap.
Yeah.
Put the numbers down. Let's talk about the real numbers and stop this Black Lives Matter bullcrap.
Well, the great Bo Deedle with us on our first show. And Bo, I want to have you back once a week or so to just pick your brain on different things and have you give your take. I always love John Imus, and anytime you're on Fox, and thank you so much for being here on my first day, Bo.
Well, Bob, congratulations for your new show, and I'm glad I could be there to kick it off. And you're a true American, Bob. You know, I love when people come back, and you're back, Bob. You got my full support, my brother.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate it. Love you. And ladies and gentlemen, Bo Deedle, former New York City decorated cop and detective and security firm owner, raconteur and actor in some of our finest movies, particularly those made by Martin Scorsese. Thanks for him to, for being with us.